Cheskas Habatim. We begin the perek. Cheskas Habatim v'aboros ashichin ha'ma'oros shovachos merchatzos beis habadin, beis ha'shlachim, avadim kol shir osa peres tadir cheskasan gimel shanim miyom liyom. The Mishnah starts with a very, very lengthy sentence listing a long slew of types of real estate, for all of whom the Mishnah says, they have the Chezkas Karkos is 3 years. 3 years exactly. Shalosh Shonim Miyom Liyom. And the Mishnah explains that list is a list of many examples of types of property that are Osin Peros Tadir, that produce fruit literally or figuratively on a regular basis. You might have a field that produces produce in an ongoing fashion. Obviously, houses don't grow fruit, you hope, nor do merchatzos. Bathhouses don't grow fruit either. But what you mean is that their use, either to produce revenue or just residence. My house, my personal residence, the peiros is the ongoing usage. I get to live in my house. If the merchatz is a business, so it's oseh peiros in the sense that it's an ongoing business and producing revenue throughout the year. So whenever you have an item which is not seasonal, the Rishonim point out, we don't necessarily mean every single day mamish, but we mean that there's no seasonal on and off. That consistently, you have consistent use, consistent revenue stream, karka, that's oseh peiros tadir, so the chazakah is exactly 3 years. Rashi, for the first couple of blot, first blot in the Shmitchik, we still have Rashi before we switch over to the Rashbam. So Rashi tells us, what do you mean, Chazkasan Gimel Shalom Yom Yom? So he explains, we've been talking about this for a while. This will bring you back to a ritva that we looked at the very first day of the year. Im Hechazik Bashalosh Shanim Shalemos, Ein Tzarech Lahavi Shtar Mechira. If I've been living on this property for a full 3 years, I do not have to demonstrate the shtar, mechira, that proves the documents that I bought this field. What do you mean? So Rashi explains, if the previous owners, the first owner, translated into Aramaic, Bayim Rishonim is Marakama. If the Marakama comes, he's Ma'arer, he complains, he contests. He says, what are you doing in my land? We're going to see that line repeatedly over the next couple of dapim. The Marakama comes and says, my boss, Bahayara, what are you doing on this property? This is my property. Why are you here? You don't belong here. You're trespassing. One of the younger Talmidim suggested to me that there may be Alderich HaChasidus, Alderich Remez, my boss, Bahayara, is also a Hashkafa question. And I, what are you doing? That's what we began to talk about in Seel Sharm yesterday in Paragal. My boss, Bahayara, what are you doing in this planet? What's your purpose? What's your goal? I would add, if that's the case, that it's the Marakam who asks that question. Rashi at one point says that, Rashi and Chumash points out, Kadmono Shel Olam is one of the terms we use to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who is here before anything else. The Marakam, Kadmono Shel Olam, asks us that question. My boss, Bahayara. What are you doing here? And we have to be ready to answer, Alderach Remez, Minach Zvinte, you sold it to me. You put me here. V'chaltia shnei chazaka. And I was osa peiros. I used this world for its intended purpose. I produced the way I'm supposed to produce with this world. Okay, so that's perhaps Alderach Remez. Alderach Asmachta. That's not the pshat, although if that will help you to remember Chavos Adam Ba'olamo, remembering Chavos Adam Ba'olamo is certainly a very, very important goal. But let's return back to Alderech HaHalacha. Pshuta Shal Mishnah. Pshuta Shal Gemara. So and Rashi explains the ABCs of Cheskas Karkos. Marakama comes and says, what are you doing here? So if the prior owner of the Kark questions you, so Rashi, the implication, Rashi, is that the easiest response would be to produce a Shtar Mechira. Right? I say, yeah, everyone knows you used to live here, but you sold it to me, or Shtar Matana. Here's a Shtar of the document. It was yours until a year ago, until a week ago, until 10 years ago, whatever it is. You have a Shtar Mechira, Shtar Matana, or you have Edim, live Edim. who were witness to the Mechira Matana. That's the simplest solution of all. But if you don't have a Shtar Mechira, you don't have Eidim, so there's another effective response that the new fellow can have, that the Machza can have, and that is, well, I don't have a Shtar to show you, I don't have Eidim Mechira or Eidim Matana, but I do instead have Eidim to my Cheskes Habatim. I have Eidim that can testify that I've been here for the last 3 years. So back in Rashi, in the last wide line, Im Iru Aleha Bayom Rishonim, the prior owner of the Marakama comes and contests your presence. What are you doing here? You're a ganav, you're a thief, you're a trespasser, get out of my house. Everyone knows I've owned this house for decades. The Ze'omer Machartali, and the new fellow, the Machzik, says, no, it's true, you used to own it, but you sold it to me. Again, the most natural next step would be, and here's the Shtar Mechira. But he says, Avad Shtari, I don't have a Shtar Mechira. Still, in the absence of Shtar Mechira, Chezkasam O'Eleslo, I can, instead of a Shtar, I can win the case by proving my Chazaka, my Chezkas Karkos. In love, in Chezkasam O'Eleslo. If you've been here for 3 years and you've been using the property for 3 years, so then it works. But if you have not been using the property for 3 years, then nisht. So that's the aleph beis. That's the aleph beis of cheskas habatim. Cheskas karkos is a way of maintaining the land in my hand, even though there's a marakama, but I have I don't have a shtar, I don't have edim to the actual fact. The event of the Mechira or the Matana, I cannot directly prove that I was koneh from you, but the fact that I can prove my Cheskas Habatim Gimel Shanim, I can't just say I was here, but Edim, their Edim, I'll get later in the parak into what the Edim have to see exactly, but I have Edim who can come to Beis and testify, yes, we know he's been living on the land, he's been farming the land, as the case may be, depends whatever type of property it is, he's been using the land, Achilas Paris, whatever Achilas Paris is, whether it's residence or agriculture or it's a factory, and he's been using the factory, whatever it is, he's been using the karka, shtamshas in the karka on a regular basis for the last 3 years or more. So he, the marakama loses, and the machzik wins. And then the Mishnah gets on the safe of the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to discuss how about if the middle of relation to the mitzvah of the Mishnah, the middle of the Mishnah goes on to discuss how we have a karka that's ena osa peiros tadir, a karka that's sedei beis habal, it's rain driven. There's no irrigation system. It just you farm off of natural rain, which means you're more seasonal and your farm is more limited. The Rabbi Kiva discuss in the middle of the Mishnah. Maybe that means that I don't need a full 3 years. Because you're not farming all 3 years anyways. Maybe you just need three crops. And then at the Seifa, Rabbi Yishmael goes on to say that Amar Rabbi Yishmael, B'medvar Amar, he takes that idea to the next step. B'medvar Amurim, based on Allah, B'medvar Amurim, B'sdei Lavan. What we said about 3 years, that's in a white field. What's a white field? A white field is a wheat field. Pun not intended. But a stei Lavan is a grain field. Because when you have a field full of grain, it's, you know, off. It's going to be off-white when the grain has grown. So if it's a stei lavan, if it's a grain field, and that's all you do is you just grow grain, so then you're going to need a full 3 years. But the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shmuel goes on to say, for a stei ilan, if you have a multi-purpose field, it has grain, and it has vineyards, and it has olive trees, forget about the produce. You have different types of trees in the field. You have an orchard with different types of trees, and they produce fruits at different times. So then, kanas is tvulaso, masak is esav, kanas is kaitso. Over the course of a matter of a month, perhaps, I first harvested the grain harvest, and then I harvested the olives, then I harvested the figs, and I processed each one. Hare elu gimel shanim. You had your three rounds. That already counts ke'ilu, it's 3 years. Okay, so we're going to return to the details in the latter part of the Mishnah, Belinetta, later on. But for now, the core, obviously, is opening the Mishnah, is that there's the idea of Cheskas Karkos, and the idea of Cheskas Karkos, Gimel Shanim. So you're there for 3 years. then you get to keep it. If you're not there for 3 years, then you don't get to keep it. Now, right away, we're approaching this Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, with some prior knowledge. We're approaching this Mishnah with a sensitivity for how we deal with Safek Mamon. So, anything strike you as interesting about this? Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, right? You would think if this is Aleph Beis Safek Mamon, but Vakam Mem Vav. And all of Shas, as we saw, what's this 3 years? What's this 3 years? Interesting, intriguing. All of a sudden, we're used to Cheskes Metalklin. If you're the Muchzak, then you win. If there's no Muchzak, then you go to Marakama. But that was the Aleph Beis of Bavitzir Dav Kuf, is that Marakama is relevant only when there's no Muchzak Tvisa Dahashta. Here, the Marakama all of a sudden seems very powerful. Someone's on the land, but because you used to be there, you're going to win unless he produces a shtar or unless he proves Chazak Chesas Abatim Gimel Shanim. Fascinating, intriguing, strange, and probably the unspoken question that drives the entire opening blot and half of the parak. What does this mean? Where did this come from? So the Gemara asks specifically, where does it come from? What's the mucker? But we appreciate, because we're coming to this with a little bit of background, it's not just an innocent shaila of Minan Emili, where does this come from? There's a kasha here. This bothers us. Because we're not approaching this as a blank slate. I don't know what the din should be. It could have been this, could have been that. How come it's this? It's why is it this? It should not have been this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shamati mihoche Yusha. Rabbi Yochanan the Amora says, I heard from those who go to Usha. Rashi gives you the background. In Maseches Rosh Hashanah, you learn the last parak, Eser Golias Galsus Sanhedrin. The other day we talked about the beginning of that story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai negotiates with Vespasian for safe passage to allow the Sanhedrin to leave Yerushalayim and safely reconstitute themselves in the Galil. And they go to Yavne, that was Tainli Yavne v'chachameha. And then Rashi goes on to say, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says they didn't stay in Yavne. They moved around. Eser Galias Gulf to Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin made 10 moves from point to point in Yerushalayim and then to Yavne, and then they circulated around the Galil from place to place to place to place. Probably largely because while Vespasian temporarily gave them safe passage, that didn't last very long. And they were on the run from the Romans, especially after the Bar Kokhba revolt. Hadrian realized that the Jews were not going to assimilate the way other nations that they had colonized did. The Romans had a pretty steady system for how they, running an empire. One of the fundamental questions you deal with in running an empire is, as you grow, how do you maintain hegemony? How do you maintain control over an increasingly large, geographically vast, and culturally diverse population? They don't identify as Romans, so how are we going to maintain, how are we not going to keep losing, colonies to revolution? So different emperors had different approaches, some which appear in the Tanakh. We hear about Sancheirov's approach. And the Romans had a cultural assimilation approach. Knock down a couple of temples, build a couple of new temples, create some syncretist blend of the local religion and the Roman pagan religion, and that would usually work. And they would slowly assimilate different colonies, different cultures, into sort of this larger Roman identity. They tried it in Eretz Yehuda, and it failed miserably. Within less than 7 years, they knocked down the Beis HaMikdash, as we know, they built a base of Avodah Zarah on location, a temple to Jupiter, I believe, and they tried their usual shtick. And less than 70 years later, they have one of the fiercest rebellions that Rome ever dealt with, was the Bar Kokhba revolt. There were ultimately multiple legions of the Roman army were called in to suppress the revolt. The 14th legion disappears entirely, as Rabbi Yehuda Landi points out. It was a terrible bloodbath. Ultimately, the Jews suffered horrifically when the Romans finally contained them and conquered them. But the Romans took very, very severe losses, and they realized they need to do something different. They realized that they're the next factor. The X factor was Torah. They realized that just building more temples and doing this and that is not going to work. And that's why during the lifetime of Rabbi Akiva and on, after the Bar Kokhba revolt, or Hadrian and on, there's very intense religious persecution. And and Jews were dying on Kiddush Hashem for learning Torah, for teaching Torah, for shaking lulav, for keeping mitzvahs. The discussions of Pikuach Nefesh date from that period in time. The sugi in the last parak of Yuma, Rabbi Kiva Bishmal, they're holchem baderech, and they begin to raise this question of Pikuach Nefesh. And up until Yehuda Hanasi, those generations were fraught with incredible danger. So that's why the Sanhedrin was moving around from Yavne to here, to Usha to here, to Shepharim, to Tzipori, back and forth, circulating around the Galil, presumably trying to evade Roman detection. And the phrase Holchei Usha is very fraught. It means the Talmidei Chachamim who were going to Usha, meaning members of Sanhedrin who were sneaking to Usha to try to evade Roman detection and manage to meet and talk and learning and pask and shilas and continue to guide Klal Yisrael. So if Yochanan says, I heard from Holchei Usha, what were they busy with? Among other things, Cheskel Zabatim Gimel Shem. Fascinating. The Jews are risking their lives for all of Torah. Cheskel Zabatim might not have struck us as like, you know, the mount, the hill you're going to die on, Akish Hashem, Torah is Torah. All of Torah has to be worked out. So I heard from the Holchei Usha, Shayom Reminayin the Chazaka Gimel Shanim. How do you know the Chazaka of 3 years? That's the Girsa that we have. And the answer is Mishar Amud. We'll get to the answer in a moment. But that's the question. Where does this come from? Now, it's worth noting the Bach changes, has a one-word change, which changes everything, potentially. Minayin l'chazaka shehi gimel shanim. What's the difference?
The chazaka is 3 years rather than a chazaka that happens to be of 3 years. Apparently every chazaka, but its definition of chazaka is 3 years.
So the first version, minayin l'chazaka gimel shanim, says, where did this whole concept come from? Cheskes karkos, cheskes batzim gimel shanim, where did that come from? Implying, I would have thought that the concept doesn't exist. The second version sounds like minayin chazaka shehi gimel shanim. How do I know that chazaka is 3 years? In the second version, I'm taking chazaka for granted. The question is not how do I know the chazaka exists. The question is, of course, chazaka exists, but why 3 years? Which sounds like just to get the juices flowing. And in a moment, we're going to begin to sketch out the Shaka Vitaria and begin to lay the groundwork for trying to understand the sugya. But just to get the juices flowing, even from that initial Girsa question, version one is implying that Muskel Rishon, that the default position would be there's no such thing as Cheska Batzim at all, meaning you never, Marakama always wins. The second version sounds like, why is Chazaka 3 years instead it should have been immediate? What are you waiting 3 years for? Right away, you already see that two different. It's getting to think that Cheskel Batim Gimel Shanim, and that goes back to what you were saying before. Cheskel Batim Gimel Shanim is sort of an interesting intermediate spot. On the one hand, if you're muchzuk, you should muchzuk immediately. But Cheskel Metaltlim, you don't need to be muchzuk for a period of time in order to be muchzuk. You're muchzuk now. You're the muchzuk, and you knock down the Marakama. Right? You think about the case of Machapar Bachamar. Right? You may have been muchzik for all of a few minutes, for all we know. We don't know. Right? I don't know how long you were muchzik for. Maybe muchzik for long. Maybe this chamar was, depends where the chamar is. Whose property is the chamar located? Were you muchzik on this animal for many years? Or you muchzik the parah for many years? Or you muchzik the parah for a day? I don't know. Not specified. Not relevant. Here, we're demanding a long chazak. On the other hand, you could have said, maybe, just sort of thinking out misvara, who says chazaka should ever work? What do you mean? But I'm the muchzak on the karka. So why would you have argued, maybe that there should be no such thing as muchzak on a karka? What does it mean to be muchzak on a talpum?
Right?
It's in my possession. It's in my rishos.
Can't hold karka.
Right. The karka is rishos. The karka isn't in. Well, my house is in my house. That doesn't work. If my jacket is hanging in my closet, so I'm muchzak on my jacket. But my closet isn't hanging in anything. My house is there. It is rishos. So that's sort of just. It's a logically funny sort of situation. On the one hand, you could have said there's such a thing as being muchzak. Maybe, okay, I'm living here. So that's the equivalent of being muchzak. Or I could have made the argument, no, there's no such thing as, you can't be muchzak on karka. I can't have the karka in my rishos. So I could have made the argument, no such thing as muchzak. So you always go to, so we know from Bava Mitzvah Daf Kuf, when there's no muchzak tfisa dahashta, you always go to a muchzak based on marakama. So I could have said, there's never tfisa dahashta on karka. You always go to marakama. I could have understood that. And that's sort of, that is the first version, the gears that we have. Who says there should be such a thing as Chesed Gimel Shalom at all? Maybe Muscular Rishon is no such thing. Bach's Girsa is implying Adraba. I can conceive of a notion of Muchzak on Karka, and you should be Muchzak immediately, just like I'm a Talton. You're living here now, you're a Muchzak. What do I care where you were last month? What do I care where you were last year? So Lamasa, think about these two Girsa, it just gets us already attuned to some of the logically fascinating chilukim. Muchzak on karka is an interesting thing, but if there is muchzak on karka, you would expect they would happen right away. So what's this gimel shan? And then Ray gets us thinking, Taka, what is Kassus gimel shan? Maybe it's not really muchzak at all. Maybe it's something else. It's a new thing. Maybe you were right. The taki is no shos that you can't be muchzak on karka because I can't hold it. It's not in my rishos. Maybe gimel shanim is a new type of thing, and that's what the gemara appeared. That's what Halchi Usha appeared to say. Halchi Usha appeared to say, yeah, this is something totally new. Where we heard about three before, the Halchi Usha said. We're in Chumash. You have a notion that after three something changes. They said, oh, looking parshas mishpatim, the din of shor hamuad. You have it twice. The Torah speaks both about a lethal shor and about a damaging shor. The Torah talks about a shor haniskal, a shor that Rachman Tzlan kills people, an animal that's killing people, homicidal shor. And there's a notion there of tam and muad, and after three rounds the din changes. But Rashi says we're talking about the second type of shor hamuad, the more typical, and Baruch Hashem, non-lethal shor hamuad. You have a shor, it's not killing anybody, a shor to damage. It's attacking other shavarim, it's attacking motorcycles, whatever it is. It's doing damage. So the Torah tells us, in Parshat Mishpat, that's the second time the Torah speaks about the shor hamuad. The Torah says, the shor does damage in an unusual fashion. Shor does damage in an ofen meshuneh. That's the maskana of the Gemara in Daf Tezvav in Bava Kama. That's the definition of keren, is that it's doing something abnormal. So the first two or three times, Sugi is assuming three times, you don't really pay fully for what you did, you pay chatzi nezek. So the shor hits the motorcycle once, you pay for half the damage. Shor hits the motorcycle again, pay for the half the damage. Shor hits the motorcycle a third time, pay for half the damage. But now we tell you, if it happens a fourth time, you're on the hook for the whole thing. Fourth time and on is nezek shalom. So that's what Halchi Usha said. Rabbi Yochanan, the first generation Amora, said, I heard from the Tanoim, from the Halchi Usha, I have Masorah from the Halchi Usha, this mysterious concept of Chesed Zabat, and we're beginning to appreciate the mystery of it. Because it seems like it's neither here nor there. You are a Muchzak, but only after 3 years. What on earth does that mean? He said, no! This is based on Shor hamuad. Ah, okay. And now, that's the kernel that Rabbi Yochanan repeated from the Tanaim for the Halchi Usha, and now the Gemara is going to begin to analyze. Gemara is going to try and work this out. It sounds very nice. We're going to have a series of four kashas that will begin to hone and polish and try to figure out, well, how does that equation work? It's an odd equation. It's three and three, okay. But once you get past the three and three, Gemara is going to point out a series of four kashas. Right. Number one, it said, just to overview, and then we can take some questions, maybe we have some time to begin to analyze a little bit. But just to overview the Shaka V'Tara, the Gemara has a series of four questions. First, the Gemara says, if it's really true that learns from Cheskabatim Gimel Shanim, so Kasha number one was Kasha Aleph, Kasha Beis, Kasha Gimel, Kasha Dal, right? Kasha number one is it shouldn't be three, it should be four. Because after all, you don't pay, after the third negicha, you don't pay Nezek Shalom. It's only after the fourth negicha you pay Nezek Shalom. So it should only be after the fourth year that we're going to tell you, now you get to keep the karka. Why three? And the Gemara has a response to that. The Gemara asks a second kasha. What's the Gemara? We have to think about each of the answers. The first is to sort of sketch things a little bit. The Gemara's the second kasha was what? Was, who needs a taina? Who needs a taina? Yup. It sounds like the Gemara is saying, if it's really think it's like Shara Mu'ad, so the three negichas themselves do all the work. So if there are three shanim, that should make, if it's really based on Cheskavatim Gimel, on Shara Mu'ad, the Cheskavatim itself should make the change. I don't need a taina to go along with it. Both sort of pressing on how similar really is Chesk Zabatim to Shar HaMu'ad. And then the Gemara has a third, seems sort of like maybe perhaps a little more of a side kasha about Macha Shalom Bafana. The din is, it's a sugya later, the just to give a drop more of the basis, the rudiments of Chesk Zabatim, if I'm the machazik and you're the marakam who's ma'arer, I'm going to win if I can prove that I've been here for 3 years and that you had not protested during those 3 years. The moment you make a protest within less than 3 years, that kills my chesk zavadim. You don't have to get to bezin. As soon as you make the macha, that stops the clock. So if you make a macha within the first 3 years, then now it's That kills the chesabatim. Now we're going to go to court, and you're not going to have your chesabatim because I protested in less than 3 years. Macha. So the Gemara later on, the Aflamet Ches Lamates, the Mishnah and the Gemara, they indicate that this macha does not have to be said in front of the new machazik. The marakama can make a macha in a different location. The Gemara says, if you really want to make an equation between Shar Hamud on the one hand and Chesk Zabatim on the other hand, you should require Befadav. Because after all, when the Edim come to court to testify that the Shar did damage, the Edim are made Bifnei Baldin. That's the way things usually work. The Baldin is there, the owner of the Shar is there, and the Edim come and give their testimony in the presence of the owner. And the Bezin will have a conversation with the owner and say, here's the Psak, you need to be more careful with your Shar. So if over there we require Bafanav, how come over here we don't require Macha Bafanav? And then finally the Gemara has a fourth kasha. And the fourth kasha is could we shrink the time? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion. And see, this question is sort of. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you can have gimel negichos biyom echad. The Torah talks about over the course of 3 days. The example in the Chumash sounds like he was nogeach on Monday, he was nogeach on Tuesday, he was nogeach on Wednesday. So God says, if that's literal, it needs to be 3 different days. So that's very similar to the 3 years of Cheskas Havatim. The Gemara says, goes through several different versions of this question, but the Gemara says, how about if I can do 3 achilos peros? Rabbi Meir says, it doesn't have to be 3 different days. Rabbi Meir says, that's an example. That can even be the same day. 9 o'clock in the morning, the Shar attacks a motorcycle. And 10:30 in the morning, he attacks a moped. And then by noon, he's already, the Shar has become more emboldened. He's already attacking he's already attacking pickup trucks. So three negichas on one day, Reb Meir says, for sure you're chayiv. So it has nothing to do with time. So the Gemara says, so maybe if you're really going with this equation, there should be nothing to do with time either. Why do you have to be 3 years? Which really presses on the following point, which is that this idea that three negichos somehow is equivalent to 3 years, that's a sort of funny equation. Negichos are events. Years are measurements of time. And the Gemara says, and this is how this piece of the sugya closes, the Gemara says, in a chanami. You know who Holchi Usha is? Man Holchi Usha. Man Holchi Usha. Who are these Holchi Usha? Rabbi Yishmael. It's Rabbi Yishmael specifically, Rabbi Akiva's peer, who was specifically the one who was going to Usha, who told Yochan this. And what did Yishmael tell us in the Mishnah? The last line, the seif of the Mishnah, is in Achanami. If you can get in three distinct harvests over the course of a couple of months, you did have a chesed abata. So that's why, I just need your attention for another 90 seconds. This completes our overview of the first part of the sugya. The first suggestion the Gemara had made, where does chesed abatim come from? Well, maybe it comes from, maybe it's derived from the concept of Gimel Zimni of the Shar Amun. And the Gemara ultimately says that's only going to work if you hold of the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. It's not really about 3 years. It's really just about three harvests, which usually take 3 years, but sometimes don't. The Gemara is going to go on to say on the next blot, we don't hold Rabbi Yishmael, and we're going to have to come up with a new solution. But we're just getting started with Daf Chav Ches. We sketched out a little bit what's going on here. But now we're going to want to, each of these questions, and particularly as we're going to see the first two, are going to give us a lot of insight. We raised some issues that we haven't closed yet. What does Chesed Abatim actually mean? Muchzak, not muchzak. Is there such a thing as being muchzak? Is there such a thing as being muchzak? Why isn't it working right away? Is this maybe some type of new concept based on Shara Muad? So Rashi and Tosis and Rabbeinu Yonah are going to start to work their way through the Kashas and Terutzim here, and there's a lot going on under the surface. The Gemara is speaking in terms of technical details. What's really being adjudicated is what's the nature of Chesed Abatim. So this was a Haschala, laying out some of the issues, and now we're ready to get to work.